welcome to another episode of the Ramon Foster Show. Happy hump day, Moan, and we are brought to you on this hump day by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, as always. How's Wednesday treating you so far, man?
If it was any better, my name would be Eddie Yenzer.
Shout out to Benny Brandon, the YouTube comments. Back from Steelers today, man. That was good. That was good stuff. Moan, we got a lot to talk about because, you know, we talked yesterday about the offensive line being, you know, starting to gel and show some positivity. And, you know, another name, and, you know, Dale, if you listen to the Dale Lawley show, Dale talks about it, you know, is Mitch Trubisky. He's stringing together a couple of good days in camp. Monday while I was at camp, you know, when you're hosting shows, man, your days get mixed up
They get mixed up, and that's okay.
It's crazy, man.
It's the next day.
right. But Monday at Latrobe Memorial Stadium, Mitch really looked like he was starting to get things together, especially with George Pickens. So my question to you with that is, now that the offense is getting some positive movement from the offensive line, now that Mitch Trubisky looks like he's gotten out of this, like, you know, training camp slump or whatever this was, you know, this maybe like, you know, get to know you period with the with the offense, and he's starting to perform a little bit. What does this do, especially for a game week, for this offense's confidence and even the coaching staff, you know, like what they think that they can hand over to the offense? Well, like, how does this, you know, this positive surge help things?
Well, this is the thing, too. We're at that point of camp. What is it, about 10, 11 days of practice?
Yep.
You know, they've been in camp for a little while, but the days, they've kind of had a couple off days here. They got rained out a day or two also. So they've been on the field for about 10, 11 days. And I'll say this, the way camp goes, that first week and some change is all about the install. How much can we install? Let's get this out of the way with the simple stuff, a little bit more of the complex. And now, for the most part, for the season, the playbook is in. So with that being said, like, they're not just, you know, trial and error when it comes to plays. All right, today we got, you know, this passing play, we got play action, we got these runs that we got to hit. No, now they're formulating game plans and stuff that works for the guy, Mr. Trubisky, that works for this offense from what they've kind of evaluated and watched film as to be. So that's why you're probably seeing a couple good days out of him, stringing together some plays that you say, okay, this is where his niche is. This is where he finds his grooves on a day-to-day. We need to stay in this box, and then we start to expand out of that. So that explains, again, I've always kind of, you know, I've been saying it for the last few days, like, this is what camp is about. Finding out how much can you install and then really bringing it back down to the basics and expanding back out again as far as what the quarterback or what the players can handle. Hearing him being able to do that says a lot about, one, his confidence. Secondly, it says a lot about how the offense is coming together. When you mentioned, you know, that the offense had a good day, I'm thinking to myself, well, this is about time. This is about time they put together a day. Then they have another good day. And you're like, this is the battle you expected. This is where you want to be this point in camp, right before the preseason game, right as the starters are kind of get penciled in a little bit. Depth chart comes out.
Yeah.
Guys start to settle into roles, man. And the coolest part about it is you're still in camp. Most of the battles are there. You can see who's going to make the comeback catches. You're going to see what Chase Claypool looks like. You're going to see what the backup running back looks like. And again, I'm hearing about this offensive line. You're going to hear about those guys kind of steaming and rolling together too. So this week is a mini dress rehearsal of what's to be expected throughout the season. You know, and it's not going to be perfect. Again, they're going to be throwing some challenges at them with Coach Tomlin and the offensive and defensive coordinators kind of put together some situations, say, hey, we got to go do these types of things. Like, it's the beginning of the in-season process, man. And I'll be honest with you as I say that again. That is my crutch phrase. If y'all hadn't watched it, I'll be honest with you. I'm always honest with
you. He's an honest man.
But as a player, when you catch this point of camp, you and somebody is going to make the team too, you find yourself in a situation like, okay, now we're feeling like football. This is what the NFL is about. And of course, you know, the 101 still suck every day because I got to go against this hard-headed ass dude right here. I'm sure the back-on-backers for the tight ends and running backs and linebackers still suck too because it's camp. You don't get away from that, but you start to see, oh, they flipped the switch on a little bit. And I think that's what kind of happened with Mitch Trubisky right now.
Right. So here's another thing I've been thinking about with Mitch, because you see it, you know, especially Monday, watching him move around and just getting a feel for actually just how mobile he is.
Yeah.
When you first came into the league, Ben was still the guy that could, you know, he wasn't mobile, but he would hold on to the ball. He'd move around in the pocket. Yep. He'd run around and play that, you know, that schoolyard type of football, right? Yeah. So how important is it for Mitch Trubisky to start getting comfortable now so that the offensive line can start getting used to blocking for a guy that's not in the pocket like Ben has been the last 2, 3, 4 years?
Man, listen to me. Very important, okay? Yeah. The O-line has to understand what his mobility is going to be. I told you guys before, whenever I got into the starting lineup and I was a young boy getting number one reps, you know, maybe my rookie year, going into my second year, and, you know, when I was like, okay, I'm about to start in the game. One of the most important things that was told to me in that era, and this is 2009, Ben was, you know, vibrant as heck.
That is...
You know what I'm saying? And even 2010, it was, hey, however you feel like you've blocked long, keep going. And when you thought you've blocked longer, again, keep going, because Ben doesn't die. You know, like those were the things that were told to me because of that mobility. And so for, you know, Mr. Trubisky to be moving around the pocket, them moving the pocket a little bit, that has to be something that they got to pay attention to. Do they create a drill for it? No. But if I'm Chooks, if I'm James Daniels, I'm saying to the guys, hey, look, guys, we see he moves around. It's going to suck someplace. Mm. It's going to be hard someplace. But we got to figure him out. He got to find a spot in where, look, if you go outside of our protection, that's on you, Mitch. You know, so that is a huge part of the process, because I'll never forget having that conversation, Eddie. He was like, block longer and then block a little bit more. That's where they got to kind of get themselves at, man.
You brought something up interesting there. You said there's not a drill for it, because we always hear about how the receivers have that, you know, after the route's over, just, you know, they have that drill.
Get the
just,
10 yard you know, burst.
Right, right. But there's as an offensive lineman, what do you do in that situation? Okay. Like, obviously block longer, but what does that mean? You know, like where are you looking to block? What are you trying to do? Man, what are you trying to?
Pride, yeah. Eddie, not being the guy that stops the big play. And every single one of us was that guy. We get to practice, and most times it'd be in practice, and coaches would be like, guys, if you held him one more second, look at this. And then they show us on film, there's the wide receiver separating. And all you think to yourself, don't be that guy on film that says, if you had a, like, it's a pride thing. And you got to say, Mo, how did you do? Well, I don't know how I did it, but I'd feel the defensive linemen, guys were looking to clean up. That's where you see us, honestly, get a little bit more nasty. You see us looking for somebody to clean up. Look, I got him. You go help him over there. Pounce, here he is. Let me go help out. Like, that was the vibes right there. Me and Kelvin Beachum, oh, my God. He would set him up for me. And you know Beach was an undersized tackle, too. He would say, hey, big bro, I got him for you. And I say, Pounce, get him, and I'm gone. And I'm going to clean somebody up, because that sets a precedent to them. Don't come in the B gap. And if Ben is scrambling, you better off just waiting, okay, and trying to block the ball. No, it's a pride thing, yeah. Eddie, just being, you know, just all the way real with you. Is don't be the guy that stops the big play. And Ben was a guy that, y'all know it, he lived for it. And yes, if that's the way Mitch is going to live, then the coaches have to, you know, bring that up. And Coach Tomlin even did that, too. Like, if you hold him one, oh my God, he would kill us with that type of stuff in practice. You know how his voice gets too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of the big play, when we come back from this break, I actually want to talk about a low key underrated big play type of guy. And I'm not going to name him until we get back.
You tease.
All right, welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. I promised you I had a name for you, because I think he's an underrated big play guy. And I'm going to set it up like this. Connor Hayward coming into camp, all right, coming into after since he's been drafted, has kind of been billed as Derek Watts, you know, like that's the guy he's going to be battling with. They're kind of the same player, the tight end, fullback, H-back, hybrid kind of guy, could play special teams. Here's the thing about Connor Hayward, though. My man can catch.
Yeah.
He can run routes. and he's deceptively fast. And I'm not talking 40 speed. I'm talking football speed for a guy that's built like basically a bowling ball.
Yeah.
But he also has the capability to bounce off a block or tackles and get out. He's good in pass pro. So he's kind of been my like outside Camp of Jalen Ward. Yeah, I like a lot what I see from Connor Hayward. So my question to you, a guy like that on a football team, he could play special teams, he could block, he could play tight end, he could do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
What does a guy like that mean to a football team, especially, you know, from an offensive line role where you know you're going to get help when he's on the field with that pass protection?
Yeah. Man, he's, let's just throw this out there just to begin with. He's a guy where pedigree meets opportunity.
Yeah.
I told you one of the main reasons why I wanted to come to Pittsburgh as an undrafted guy. He was drafted in the sixth round, but it's the land of opportunity.
Yeah.
If you got a skill set, I sound like Liam Neeson now. If you got a special skill set, okay, and an affinity for some for punishment, dishing out punishment, they're going to find a place for you. But this is what's so cool about it. I didn't tell you guys, but Kevin Colbert was in Nashville this past week, and I ended up meeting up with him. He was speaking at a scouting event here in Nashville, and we spoke about Connor. Somebody asked him about Connor Hayward, and they were just like, some of the best hands you've seen. And I was like, really? And these are other people that were in, you know, the Senior Bowl stuff and just scouts that were around him. It was like some of the best hands you've seen. Just never really had the opportunity to kind of show him like he's an athlete. He's not just Cam's little brother. He's not just, that wasn't a favoritism type of draft. That was a, hey, this kid can play ball and we got him in the sixth round and we're going to maximize as much as we can. So the idea that he doesn't stray away from physicality, that he is sneakily an athlete. You hear about the way he can jump. You hear about the way he can run.
Dude, he runs routes so clean for a big guy, man.
See what like I'm saying?
I'm watching him with the other tight ends.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's better than Zach Gentry at route running.
Mm-hmm. You
know, he's not obviously not as tall as Zach Gentry.
Zach Gentry was just a tall giraffe running.
But I mean, like, he's not quite Pat Freiermuth,
yeah.
But like he's not that far off, man. Like I have been so impressed with what I've seen from him in camp. Just the route, the athleticism. You knew he's a big body. The athleticism is just being that close to it. It's been impressive.
And you need that type of guy that they think is unathletic and he's just a blocker. Next thing you know, he's running the screen down the hatches for 15, 20.
He did it to Pitt. He did it to Pitt in the bowl game,
saying?
Man. Like he killed Pitt.
There's a lot of value in that. And just, you know, let's splice it a little bit between Derek Watt and Connor. Like, I thought it was two fullbacks too to begin with. And I'm thinking to myself, no, like they might actually have to carve out something for him offensively.
I honestly thought it was gonna be one of the two of them. And now I think Derek Watt's still gonna do his thing and Connor's gonna have a whole new thing
role.
in this offense.
And special teams. And let's just say this too. The crazy thing about the NFL and football, somebody's bound to get injured. You know, Pat Freiermuth had a couple days just here and there. And there's a guy, Johnny on the spot, as far as Connor Hayward go, that's ready and primed to go. Again, we know what Pat Freiermuth is.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way around
he's special,
that.
Man. He's special.
This kid can be special, okay?
Yeah.
But to have a guy in which you ain't got to go sign somebody off the street, you already got him in house. Everybody else had him underrated, but with the right scheme, the right fit, and the right mentality, you can maximize a six-round draft pick, man, and get a whole lot out of it. And not just him. I remember a guy I came in with, David Johnson, DJ.
Yeah.
He came in with us as a seventh rounder out of Arkansas State. And DJ had a really good career in Pittsburgh.
Yes,
special teams.
Yes, he did.
Catching the ball when needed and the blocking side of everything. There's value in that. The team isn't just made up of your TJs, your Cams, your Devin Bushes, your Miles Jack. No, it's a lot of guys that play roles. And he's a guy that can really carve out something for himself.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing with Connor is, you know, everybody, and I think rightfully so from a fan standpoint especially, you know, he's Cam's little brother.
Yeah.
And I had the chance to, on report day, I asked Cam, I said, he was talking about the jokes and the pranks and all the stuff, that the games they're going to be playing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the rookie talent show. And I asked him, I said, Cam, you got anything special planned for Connor? And Cam right away was like, nah, he's going to have enough to deal with. I don't need to add to that. You know,
they even arrive together?
I don't think they did. No,
see?
No. Cam showed up on his own. I think Connor got there before he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even that side of it, like, we see him as Cam's younger brother, But this football team sees him, and this coaching staff sees him as his he's his own guy, and he's has his own skill set.
Yeah.
And he's not here because he's Cam's brother. He's here because he could add something special to this football team.
And again, I said time and time again, that's Pittsburgh for you. Like, I don't care if that's your little brother. He better earn it because he's going to be the main one with the red dot from Coach T on his head as far as the laser in the meeting rooms. Like, don't think you're him because you're here and you got the last name. Like, that's the reality of the way things kind of go in Pittsburgh for the people that say Coach Thomas is a player's coach. Yeah, whatever. You better earn your keep, okay? That's how it
play
goes.
Play for him and practice for him before you say that, because I see him. I see how he handles some of these players, man. That ain't a player's coach.
You've gotten some of it up close, haven't you? Yeah. So I'm glad to hear Connor carve out his own little lane for himself. And that could be beneficial. I'm talking about highly beneficial for a guy like that, man. So I'm hyped for him just because everybody wants to play with the siblings or, you know, play against them. And that's some cool stuff.
It is, man. It is. And, you know, you brought up Coach T. I think that might be a good way to get into the Hey Moan segment. So when we come back, it's everybody's favorite segment, the only one that matters. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. It's everybody's favorite segment, the Hey Moan segment. And we've got one from Paulski 5 Cents on YouTube, who asks, Hey Moan, we all know that Coach T has his Tomlinisms. Yeah. Also, the older we all get, we start to say things that our parents say. We all know some coaches are like parents. So the older you get and the more you coach, have you ever said something that you thought to yourself, wow, that was a Tomlinism, or another coach?
Oh my
hashtag
goodness.
I like this one. Hashtag Moanisms.
Man, I've taken a lot of stuff from coaches because they've just been so influential in my life, just in general. Like, from my high school coaches taking me on recruiting visits to honestly just yes, sir, no, sir. And I already had that type of stuff, but just hard work pays off, all those types of things, man. From my high school coaches, the one I remember the most is in early 2000, everybody was wearing the Air Force Ones that, you know, they wouldn't tie their shoestrings. And one of the things our coaches used to say to us all the time is a man that won't tie a shoe won't wipe his behind. And anytime,
what in the world?
And you got to bend over and tie your shoe. You don't tie your shoe, you won't wipe your behind, man. Coach McAdams, Coach Johnny McAdams, man.
Because that might be one of the best things I have ever heard.
Think about
that
it.
I'm keeping that one, man. That is great.
Yeah, man won't tie a shoe, won't wipe his behind. Because he'd be like, athletes don't walk around like this. What are we doing? You look a little sloppy walking around here, son. Man. So it was that, man. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the two most influential men in my life. My uncle and my granddad by far are the two. I do this one a lot because, of course, people ask me for stuff all the time. And it's a matter of helping people. And their biggest thing, I'll help you as long as you're helping yourself. That's one I carry daily. Okay. Another one, a monism of mine. And I don't even know where I got this from. If it's a game between me and you, and I tell my kids this because they need to understand what competition is. If it's a game between me and you, I will step on your neck to get what I want. And I've told this to friggin' 8-year-olds. My sons, them know this. Kids that I've coached know this. And I say, you know what? When we cross that line, we're fine. We can be perfect gentlemen after that, but in the spirit of competition, you're going to get this work. Another one in football, you put your face in the fan. That's one that Coach T kind of said. That was Troy, Ryan, Clark, Ike Taylor era, Larry Foote, Potsy. That was their era. Man, you better stick your face in this fan. Just the level of commitment to be nasty. You're like, that was some of the things that we said. What's another? Now that I'm Johnny on the spot, I can't even remember every other Tomlinism I've used in years.
Embracing adversity is always adversity. A good one, man. That's always a great one. You know,
The other one, be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Be comfortable being uncomfortable. The standard is the standard.
Standard is a standard. And another one that's really good is physical conditioning precedes anything else. I see a kid tired. Hey, you ain't do what you're supposed to do. Mm. You know, like that's a good one of mine that I use a lot. It's so many that I'm it's missing me right now. But what's some of the ones you've heard before?
My favorite, and this is my dad. My favorite from him. You know, we grew up in a neighborhood. If you're from Pittsburgh, you know Hazelwood. And I mean, I've got both sides of the family 100 years in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he always would tell me that he said, "Our blood's in the asphalt, and the asphalt's in our blood." Like, it ain't that serious, man. But hey, it was. But that was home, you know. That's how we knew that was home, man. Yeah, that was probably the one. You know, my grandmother always has it. Don't take no wooden nickels.
Yeah, I started using don't that. Take yeah, no wooden nickels.
Don't take no wooden nickels. Yep. Yeah, so that's a good one. The other one I like from Tomlin, and he throws it in there like it's almost like at the end of a sentence, or like he'll be talking about, you know, why everything went wrong, and then he'll be such as life in the NFL. I just such as life, man. Like, it's just like, you know, life. What? Suck it up and deal with it. Like, suck it's too bad, man. Tomlin's great at just. There really is no comfort with Tomlin. There
just
is,
lay it you
know,
out.
Yeah, there. You know, we don't hide in our in by our. You know,
go ahead. This is one we had in our meetings. We used to have it as a friggin' we had it as a fine in our room. If we had a bad play. And we tried to blame it on somebody else. And I do this to people all the time. Coach Tomlin calls it seeking comfort. Yeah. No. Don't blame it. Just own it. Don't blame that on anybody. You had a bad play. Just own it. Don't say you tripped on his foot. You seeking comfort is what he said. Like, we don't seek comfort was
seeking
another
comfort
one.
And excuses. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Dude, he's got so many, though. That's the thing. Like, you could probably do an entire episode on all of the different things that Mike Tomlin says.
And not even just that, though. And I guarantee you, he could tell you verbatim all of them and what they actually mean. Mm-hmm. You know, another one, which is coming up soon. And everybody, you know, parties on Labor Day. His favorite quote, walk in the room, man, congratulations on making the team. I'll tell you what, you'd rather be laboring on Labor Day, wouldn't you? It means you got a job. I was like,
that's all right.
You're right. I don't have to cook out for Labor Day.
Right. Oh man, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff.
I got another one too. It's a fine line, man, between squashing grapes and drinking wine.
I think that's a perfect way to end that show. There's a fine line between squashing grapes and drinking wine.
Yes, indeed.
We'll see you Thursday, Mo.